Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we answer your questions, issues that you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified family. And today we have the pleasure to be with Professor Sayyid Salman Lakhavi, who is a faculty member at Al-Mustafa University, Qom. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum assalam. Hajj is not just a pilgrimage. It's a journey of the heart, a purification of the soul, and a testament to the unity of humanity under the guidance of one Creator. It's a reminder that no matter our differences, we all stand equal before God. Now, having said that, how can the significance of Hajj and its rituals be taught to the teens?
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you just mentioned, Hajj has many facets and dimensions. In totality, if we look, it's a learning experience for all of us. It is an educative, informal way of learning about Islam and its various aspects. It's worshipping Allah Almighty in the specific sense, ibadah in the specific sense, where one gains proximity to Allah Almighty.
Right.
And apart from that, it has social and economic and political dimensions. And it is a place where all Muslims can come together and, as you said, demonstrate their unity. They can discuss with each other the issues which pertain to the Islamic Ummah and so many other things that are there in Hajj. But basically, our children, if they are from the very beginning taught about Hajj, and even they are taken on this trip, even when they're young, it will certainly groom them for
The better understanding of Hajj.
The better understanding of Hajj, its implications, and how to manage their affairs for the sake of Allah,
right,
even when they're not in a state of Hajj or whatever. Hajj is a special state of, it's a special stage where one has pure and sincere intentions for Allah Almighty, and
right,
that should be carried over in all activities of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, if our children are taught about Hajj as a responsibility that has to be performed by all Muslims when they're capable of doing so and have the istita'a, as it is called, the capacity, the potential, the economic and financial status and all that. But even if someone is not of that status and cannot acquire the state where he has to, it becomes an obligation to go for Hajj, it is even then recommended to go for Hajj. And especially if parents have enough resources, they can take their children along with them.
Right.
So, and teach them about what Hajj means and what it entails, and they can come along and undergo that experience. It is a test and it's a tribulation and it's a trial for us.
Right.
When you go on a journey, when you go on a trip, when you go on for some sort of sojourn out of your place of residence, out of your comfort zone.
Right.
So you learn many things.
Right. Well, before we dig deep into the topic, we'll take a short break and we'll be back in a while.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We are with Professor Syed Salman Akhavi, and we're talking about Hajj. Well, the journey of Hajj is a pilgrimage of the soul, as we said, an expedition of the heart and a pursuit of divine love that transcends all earthly boundaries. So, Professor, what role can technology play in making our children understand the significance and importance of Hajj?
Yes, with as is the case with all the rituals that are necessary for us to perform, whether it is praying, the salah, or fasting, the obligatory rituals that are there in Islam, as a special worship, a liturgical, devotional worship of Allah Almighty, we have three levels which we have to understand, and so that we are able to implement any of these obligations.
Right.
One is the apparent level, the ritual itself, the conduct, the behavior, the practices that have to be carried out as wajibat or mustahabbat or things that have to be refrained from as makruhat and muharramat. That is the apparent and superficial aspect of any ritual, especially Hajj.
Right.
And to understand the manasik, the various, as I said, practices that have to be performed, whether it is wearing the ihram or going for the tawaf or going for the sa'i or whatever. All of these have to be understood. So technology as a learning tool can be utilized for teaching and learning about the Hajj rituals. So that is the apparent and superficial level which everyone has to carry out.
Like
to
while you're introducing them the basics of Hajj, you can like go for the videos or infographics that are there about
so
Hajj.
So because we have to learn a few things about it before you go to Hajj, you need to know some, a few. Or you can, for example, if you don't remember many things by heart, you can remember them with the help of your gadgets, your maybe phone.
So technology does play a role.
And then we have the higher level, the internal level of the heart and the soul.
Right.
And the highest level is that of the thought process behind
it. Right.
So as you said, it is not just a matter of carrying out some rituals, apparently. They have to penetrate. Those rituals have to create a difference at the level of the soul.
Right.
At the level of the heart, where the emotions and feelings that are generated because of that ritual,
right,
they should be in conformity with what we're doing. And the intention should be pure. The love of Allah Almighty should fill our hearts. It should be just for the sake of Allah, nothing else.
Right.
And especially in Hajj, when you take off all your robes and your cloaks and everything, and everyone becomes similar to each other.
One
apparel and one apparent feature. So that touches your heart and makes you feel that you are not different from anyone else.
There are no boundaries now.
There are no boundaries, and there's no difference between you. And
right.
You shouldn't feel proud of yourself. You shouldn't have arrogance. You should feel that you are one with all your brother Muslims, and the faithful are one in as far as their status in the world goes.
Right. Professor, we'll discuss more with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا
The Prophet ﷺ said, raise your children to have three features: love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We are with Professor Salman Nakavi, and we are discussing the significance of Hajj, how this can be taught to teens. Well, Professor, what about the real life examples from others? Like, for example, somebody in the family we often see has already come from Hajj. How about parents use their real life examples with their teens?
Yes, we need to sit down with those who have been to the Hajj pilgrimage and to listen to their experiences. And there are so many difficulties which pertain to that have to be resolved. And so you can sit down with your teens and with those who have already gone there, or they are leaders, they are guides or leaders or ulama who can explain to you many of those things. So before you go to Hajj, you need to sit down with them, and you should learn about the various issues that you face in the Hajj, especially with the logistics and with the movement that takes place, and taking care of your health.
Right.
Okay. Taking what are the proper things that you need to prepare for, regarding the environment, the atmosphere, whatever. So you need to get yourself acclimatized to the weather in Mecca and Medina, because sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's. So you learn, and then you need to give examples regarding the importance of Hajj and how our imams would go for Hajj on foot, and they would not use any transport.
Right.
And it is really recommended that, because generally speaking, any ritual that is carried out with the most difficulty has the most rewards.
Right.
Afsalul amali ahmazuha.
Right.
The most difficult of practices and rituals are the most rewarding.
Right.
So therefore, we need to understand that we need to prepare ourselves and our children for the fact that you will be facing difficulties. It's a material journey, because apparently you have material hindrances, you have problems, you have maybe the flight you're taking, the transport you're taking, immigration, and so many things, and taking care of your things. So these are all things, problems which one faces for that purpose.
Pious journey.
But because it is with a sincere, pure intention to achieve proximity to Allah Almighty, all of these things are undertaken in a very light manner. I mean, you can overcome these difficulties and these problems and these hindrances, obstacles, with a pure intention that all of it is for the sake of Allah. And therefore, you are testing and you are your endurance, and you're strengthening your endurance and patience in everyday life. So if you are taking upon yourself to go for a trip or for a journey other than Hajj, then you are prepared all the time. How you get prepared for any journey, you are getting prepared for this journey,
right,
which is not only a material one, it's also a spiritual one. And then we learn how to combine spirituality with the material world.
Exactly. So this combination is actually very necessary. And we, as you said, that this all are dressed in just one white piece of cloth, and the teens, especially when they enter that age, they are very much curious about their hairstyles, they're very much curious about their dressings, and this just one dress code of Hajj, as you said, there's no age bar, they can actually go anytime with their parents. In fact, you said if they go as early as possible, this will develop a very basic understanding, not only of the Hajj rituals, but also the way of life. The Hajj rituals even themselves teach us, like, just this clothing, that, you know, we all are one. There's when it comes to proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all are one. Men shave their hair, and there's nothing for done for this dunya. Well, thank you so much, Professor, for being with us. Overall, teaching the significance of Hajj and its rituals to teenagers requires patience and creativity. It's essential to provide them with a safe learning environment where they feel comfortable asking questions and sharing their thoughts and ideas. May God help you with that and all the parents around. Thank you so much for listening. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you have any questions, please feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And if you want to listen to our programs again, go back to our official website, which is www.parstoday.ir/en. Go to the tab COI, Call of Islam, and you'll find an archive of our programs there. Thank you for listening. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all.